the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Please be seated. Today we hear from a prophet that we don't hear much from. It's a very small prophet in the Old Testament, the prophet Amos. Oh, I wish Amos Lyles was here to be able to hear his prophet today. He's going to miss out. But this wonderful reading that Anna read so beautifully, it's a reading that speaks to us about God's love. And it's funny because it speaks about the old plumb line. So we've got to remember what a plumb line is. Basically, it's a piece of string that is tied to a weight. And it was used to make sure when you were building a house, a wall, or any kind of construction, that it was perfectly vertical. Without the plumb line, it's easy to have the wall teeter or totter. It's easy for it to be out of balance and look pretty sloppy. But with the old plumb line, you can make sure that the wall is straight and is built perfectly. The prophet Amos receives a vision where the Lord is standing there with a plumb line. Isn't it delightful? Standing next to a wall that was built by a plumb line. And he asks the prophet, "What am I holding?" He says, "A plumb line." And he says, "Ah." He says, "So speak to the house of Israel that I will set them like a plumb line." A vertical, direct, beautiful line to me. And no longer will I sway from them, but I will be in their midst. Then he prophesies against the king. The king hears Amos, who's no prophet, not a son of a prophet. He's a herdsman. And he is given the message prophesy against the king of Israel, that the king will die from the sword, and also to prophesy that the people of Israel will be put into exile. Not a happy message to give. So he brings the message to the priest of the king to deliver the message. And the priest says, "You better flee from here because you're prophesying against the king." And he tells Jeroboam the bad news, that he's going to die by the sword. Now for us, this gets very confusing because we think, wow, the Old Testament's so bloody. And we listen to that testament and we say, well, you know, the Lord's prophesying that this guy's going to get killed by the sword, as if the Lord's sending the sword to slice him down. But we remember that if we, as Jesus said, to his disciples, if you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword. Amos lived at a time of prosperity for the people of Israel. Things were great. Things were prosperous. But people had become self-centered. People had become materialistic. People had become greedy and self-centered. And what happened was, the time of prosperity, everything seemed to be going well, but they were worshiping the false idols. They were not keeping to the ways of God. And they were erring far from the ways of God. So the prophet prophesies to say, when you do those things, you're going to end up in trouble. If you live in brokenness, you're going to die in brokenness. So that's the message that's given 750 years before the time of Christ. The message is one to be careful in our prosperity. Our gospel today is one that is just a sad, sad gospel. I didn't know what the children, liturgy of the word, how they're going to bring that to the children. And then they sidestepped it and decided to talk about the Ark of the Covenant. So I thought that was good. That's a pretty tough order to go tell them in a couple of minutes about the beheading of John the Baptist. But what's about this passage is we see that for the Romans, it was a time of prosperity, right? things were going really well for the Roman government. Boy, King Herod had it made. He was given this authority, and he had authority under his control, even though he wasn't in a fancy outpost. He was in Galilee. But he had it. He was an official, and he was in charge of this land. And things were going pretty well, and it seemed like nothing could go wrong. And so here, John the Baptist, John was one that was very, if you looked at John's life, you would say, boy, John is, he is directly a beautiful plumb line to God. The way that John the Baptist lived was he lived for God. He lived a very simple life, lived the life of prayer, and he lived the life for others, trying to teach others to prepare their way and their heart for the Savior. And King Herod, he was no plumb line. He would have been a very crooked wall. He was a ruthless person who tried to hold on to his power by blood and by control and by no way adhering to the word of God. Now, mind you, God's Spirit was working with Herod. Herod was troubled by John the Baptist. The Spirit of God was messing with him enough. He didn't dismiss it. He was troubled by John. But he wasn't troubled enough. He didn't allow the word of God to enter his heart. And so you look and see that that what happened for Herod was very similar to what happened to Joachim 750 years before. These crooked walls continued to breed forth all kinds of broken lives. Herod chooses to marry his brother's wife. Now, I'm not a great historian, but I think the trouble here is not that his brother had died, but that his brother was still alive, and that it was a big problem that he married the brother's wife. And so we look and we see that John's challenging him on this, and that his wife held a huge grudge against John. She wanted him out. She wanted to silence him like we silence everybody else in this land. And she was furious with King Herod because he wouldn't do it. And so here, at a time when Herod is, you know, in his glory, hosting his visitors and his all this important folks in a beautiful state dinner, and his daughter does a lovely dance that everyone is just thrilled with, and then all of a sudden he brags and says, I'll give you anything. Now imagine, even half of my kingdom. I guess that would belong to the mother, wouldn't it? And he goes, even half of my kingdom, whatever you want. And so she goes, oh, wow, she's thrilled. She goes out to her mother and says that, you know, what should I ask for? And the mother says, the head of John the Baptist. And imagine that the girl immediately runs in, and she even elaborates it. I immediately want the head of John the Baptist on a platter. And so the king, who's worried about saving face, sends the executioner off reluctantly, and he goes and beheads John. And the executioner brings back John's head on a platter and hands it to the girl. Now, can you imagine this? Think about it. Hands it to a girl who immediately hands it to her mother. It's pretty broken. Would you say that's a broken family? Dysfunctional family? I would say it's pretty dysfunctional, wouldn't you? Yes. You see, hatred is bred in the home, or love is bred in the home. And what happens is, when you hold bitterness, when you hold anger, when you hold hatred, it doesn't stay within your heart. It infects everyone. It infects also your spouse, it infects your children, it affects your grandchildren, it affects even the descendants you do not know, because those sins get passed down the line. And when we look and see this, we can see so clearly how horrible this is, how ugly it is. It's so easy to see it in other people's lives. It really is. We can look around the world today as a PhD, everyone, and pointing the finger. We use that finger on Facebook to say what we think, And then we point it at the world, and we stand in opposition with everything. The lines are divided, everyone has opinions, and it's all seems to be what I think is right. But we are people of the plumb line. Like Amos, like John the Baptist, definitely like Jesus. That each one of us who are baptized are called to have this absolute vertical connection with God that doesn't give any buts, but says, I'm connected with God's grace. So whatever the issue is in our lives today, we can't excuse it with a but. We can't say, yeah, I know I have racist tendencies, but my family was racist. Doesn't fly when you're talking about the plumb line. Can't make those excuses. We have to say, aren't all children God's children? Then how can I discriminate? Or if we say, yes, I belong to God, but there have to be those borders. And if we stand on just saying, build the wall, and then we don't look at our brother and sister at the door who are hungry and in need, or we see families being separated from each other and torn apart with cruelty, and we say nothing, we have lost the plumb. Or if we say, you know, it's a shame there's so many hungry people in the world, but who's going to feed them? When science continues to say there's enough food for everyone on our planet. Whatever the issue is as Christians, what we have to say is, what's God's? How does Jesus answer it? And then when we say, but, we realize that we've dropped the plumb line and we're moving away from God. Now, all issues complicated? Oh, all issues are complicated. The Lord knows we have enough complicated issues in our own church, our own school, our own lives, our own priesthood. Very complicated. But we are the baptized, like that second reading speaks. We have been given the grace of God to be the light of the world, to be the ones who don't make excuses, to exempt the ways of God, but desire to be the plumb. May God's blessings be upon us in our lives and in our efforts. Live according to the way of God.